Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a Florida Supreme Court case that's really essential for law students, especially if you're into business litigation, PNR, Inc. v. Beacon Property Management. What makes this one so important is how it clarifies the Florida Deceptive and Unfair Trade Practices Act, FDUTPA, in, you know, the business world.
Exactly. And the real crux of it is this question. Can a business get hit with FDUTPA liability for just one bad act, or do they need to show a whole pattern of deceptive stuff? Seems straightforward, but it actually split the Florida appellate courts right down the middle.
A legal brawl, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. And the Supreme Court had a referee.
Okay, so let's paint the picture. We've got PNR, Inc. They run a restaurant. Mm. And they leased a space managed by Beacon Property Management. But here's the catch. Beacon's official deal with the building owner. It had already run out before PNR even moved in.
Right. So the ground rules were already kind of fuzzy from the start.
Which is why our mission today is to really unpack how the Florida Supreme Court sorted this mess out. We need to grasp what their decision means for business fights down the road, for FDUTPA claims, and, well, especially for you law students who'll be navigating this stuff.
Definitely. So let's get into the facts. PNR leases this restaurant. Beacon's Carmel contract is dead, but they're still the ones PNR calls when things go wrong with the building.
So Beacon's acting like the manager even without the paperwork.
Precisely. And PNR starts having some major problems. We're talking roof leaks, tar literally dripping inside, building code violations piling up.
Yikes.
Yeah. And who does PNR call? Beacon. So PNR naturally thinks Beacon is responsible for fixing it, right?
Makes sense. But these weren't just small fixes, were they? It got way worse.
Oh, much worse. The whole situation kind of snowballed until the north wall of the restaurant actually collapsed.
Collapsed.
Wow. Yeah. Forced PNR to close for 7 months. And then, to add insult to injury, they got evicted. Huge blow to their business.
That's devastating. And you mentioned something about internal issues with the owners.
Right. There were whispers, allegations really, that the building owners weren't getting along. And that one owner, Willis, who was tied to Beacon 2, might have deliberately let the property decay. Adds a potential motive angle, you know.
Okay, so PNR's business is wrecked. They sue. What happens in the first round at the trial court?
Well, the jury heard all this, and they basically sided with PNR. Found Beacon and Willis liable on multiple claims, including, importantly, under FDUTPA. Awarded PNR $1.2 million in damages.
A big win for PNR initially. But appeals happen.
They do. Beacon and Willis took it upstairs, and the Fourth District Court of Appeal flipped the script, but only on the FDUTPA claim.
Why only that one?
Their reasoning was that FDUTPA is meant for, like, widespread shady practices, not just a one-off problem that looks more like a simple contract breach. They thought it was just a single transaction gone bad.
So that's the conflict. One court says FDUTPA applies, another says no, it needs a pattern.
Exactly. And that disagreement is the ticket to the Florida Supreme Court.
Yeah.
They had to step in and say, okay, what is the rule here for FDUTPA?
So the big question for the Supreme Court, does FDUTPA cover a single deceptive or unfair act, or do you need a habit of bad behavior?
That's the core issue. And tied into that is this other tricky part. When is a broken contract just a broken contract? And when does it cross the line into being an unfair or deceptive trade practice under the statute?
Yeah, drawing that line seems crucial. You don't want every contract dispute suddenly becoming a FDUTPA case.
Right. The Supreme Court needed to give some guidance on where that boundary lies, especially since FDUTPA can offer different, sometimes better remedies than just a breach of contract suit.
All right, the main event. What did the Supreme Court majority, led by Justice Lewis, decide? How did they tackle this?
Their focus was laser sharp on the actual words in the FDUTPA statute. They point out the law says acts plural, yes, but inherently including the singular act. It doesn't say only practices or methods.
So the plain text.
The plain text. And they dropped a pretty clear quote on this, saying something like, "The very provisions that outline individual remedies under the FDUTPA are triggered by the commission of a single act."
Okay, so the statute itself allows for liability based on one act. That settles that part.
Pretty much. But they didn't stop there. They also spelled out what unfairness means under FDUTPA. They laid out a two-part test. First, does the conduct offend established public policy?
Like, is it against the law or basic societal rules?
Exactly. Or the second part, is the conduct immoral, unethical, oppressive, unscrupulous, or substantially injurious? That's a broader catch-all for really bad behavior.
Got it. And what about deception? Did they define that too?
Yeah, for deception, they stuck with the existing standard. Is the act likely to mislead a reasonable consumer under the circumstances? And did that misleading cause harm?
Okay, so how do they connect these tests on fairness and deception back to PNR and Beacon? Why did Beacon's actions qualify?
Well, the court looked at the whole picture. The terrible state of the building, the constant ignored leaks, the code violations, and boom, the wall collapsing. They specifically highlighted that the collapse was substantially injurious.
Hitting that second prong of the unfairness test.
Precisely. That substantial injury caused by the neglect Beacon was arguably responsible for managing was enough to qualify as an unfair act under FDU-TPA.
So even without a valid contract, Beacon's role and the severe consequences of their inaction meant they could be liable under FDU-TPA for that single catastrophic event.
Exactly. The court looked past the contract technicality to the actual harm caused by the conduct.
Now, you mentioned it wasn't unanimous. Justices Wells and Harding dissented. What were they worried about?
Their big fear was that this ruling makes the line between a regular contract breach and a FDU-TPA violation way too blurry. They worried it would encourage plaintiffs to slap a FDU-TPA label onto almost any business disagreement just to get, potentially, attorney's fees or broader damages.
So a fear of opening the floodgates, essentially. Mm-hmm. Every landlord-tenant squabble becomes a potential FDU-TPA case.
That was the concern, yeah.
Yeah.
They foresaw courts struggling to figure out, you know, is this just a standard breach or is it really immoral, unethical, oppressive, as the majority defined it? Where's that line in practice?
Right, a practical difficulty for judges. Okay, let's boil this down for the law students listening. What are the absolute must-know takeaways from PNR v. Beacon?
Number one, and it's the big one, a single deceptive or unfair act can be enough for FDU-TPA liability. Gives businesses another potential legal weapon beyond just breach of contract, especially when the harm is significant.
And takeaway number two seems to be about who you can sue. You don't always need that direct contract, right?
Correct. Contractual privity isn't a strict requirement. The focus is on the impact of the unfair or deceptive conduct. Did the defendant's actions meet the test, and did they cause harm? In PNR, Beacon's de facto management role was enough.
So, thinking practically, for future lawyers drafting complaints,
you should definitely consider pleading both breach of contract, if applicable, and FDU-TPA, if the facts suggest the defendant's actions weren't just a simple failure to perform, but actually crossed into that realm of unfairness or deception defined by the court. Keep those options open.
But not every broken contract is a FDU-TPA violation.
Absolutely not. The court was clear. The conduct has to meet those specific statutory tests for unfairness or deception. Just failing to deliver on a promise without more probably won't cut it. It needs that extra element of wrongfulness.
So wrapping up, PNR v. Beacon is really a landmark for understanding FDU-TPA's reach in Florida, especially for businesses suing other businesses. It settled that appellate split and gave clearer rules.
Yeah, it confirms that FDU-TPA protects businesses from single, really damaging acts of unfairness or deception, offering a remedy potentially beyond what contract law alone provides. It's about policing genuinely bad conduct in the marketplace.
Okay, so a final thought to chew on. With the Supreme Court giving FDU-TPA this broad interpretation for single acts, how might this influence how Florida businesses operate? Especially when, like Beacon, they might be acting without a clear formal contract. Does it raise the bar for ethical conduct?
That's a great question. It certainly suggests that businesses need to be mindful of the impact of their actions, not just their strict contractual duties. Acting in a way that's substantially injurious even once could bring FDU-TPA into play. It'll be interesting to see how courts continue to apply these standards moving forward. Definitely something to watch in your future practice.